If you want to turn there to chapter 4. We're talking about the superiority of Jesus Christ, living in the new covenant, the letter of Hebrews. That's where we are. And before the service started, I had a gentleman walk up to me and every Sunday he would walk up to me, and pretty much I'd walk up to him, and I just thought it was a natural thing, except he lives in Massachusetts. And Dave and Jane and Laura Pfeiffer, of course, some man came and took your daughter away. I don't know. She lives in South Carolina now, which I understand is God's country. That's what I heard, anyway. But Dave and Jane Pfeiffer and Laura, we're very glad to have you here. I didn't want to embarrass you. Actually, I kind of did, but now we've got through that. I don't have to do anything. I could say a lot of things about these folks. They lived in the same neighborhood. We went to the same church, and a lot of great things happened there. Anyway, today I want to help us understand this. Grace to help in time of need. How would that look if in your time of need, whatever you're going through, whatever happens in your life, any week something can happen that you didn't expect? It could be a loss of a job. Sometimes that happens. It could be a loss of your health. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be a financial strain. It could be all kinds of things that happen in your life. And at the very moment that you need it, God supplies His grace. And we want to look at how He does that in this passage today. And so I want to read the passage, and then we'll look further into it. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, this passage talks about a priest, a high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, what is a priest? A priest is a mediator. In this case, it would be a mediator between God and us. And a priest is a mediator who stands before God on behalf of people and stands before people on behalf of God. Now, I want you to know that they're a priest. You look at priests in the Bible. When I say priest, you might think a Catholic priest. That may be about the furthest thing I want you to think right now. There's a little bit of a problem with that, but anyway, we'll leave that alone. But a priest in the Bible, you noticed in the Old Covenant, the priest in the temple and the tabernacle, all the things, they did all the work that they did, and they were called by God, and all of the things you read about it, all of those were priests. But then there was a high priest. A high priest is the supreme mediator who stands before God on behalf of all people, and stands before all people on behalf of God. So you've got priests that would serve, and we're called a priest in the Bible. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a priest. You represent God to people and people to God every day of your life. You've got Jesus Christ living inside of you by His Spirit, and you are minister to people and help people and tell them about Christ. So you're a representative of Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ, the Bible tells us. But in this case, there's only really one supreme high priest. Earthly priests are only small, imperfect symbols of the one and only true priest, Jesus Christ. And so that's what we want to look at today, because it's connected to this idea that Jesus is the high priest, our true high priest. He's not only the priest that offers the sacrifice to God, but He's the sacrifice Himself. He offers Himself to God as a sacrifice on behalf of us, so that He could pay for our sins, so that we could have forgiveness. So Jesus Christ is the perfect, sinless high priest who alone can truly stand before God on behalf of all people and stand before all people on behalf of God. So that's the high priest explanation. But you know, when you look at this, you know, when Jesus paid the price on the cross for all sins, for all people of all times, and He's the only one that can truly represent God to us completely, and He's the only one that can can help all people be forgiven. And so it isn't that the price hasn't been paid, it's just the price hasn't been accepted by everybody, and everybody needs to surrender their lives to Christ. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. You must surrender your life to Christ. And so what keeps you out of heaven is your unbelief. And we've been reading about this and talking about this in the book of Hebrews, is not believing, not trusting, not surrendering to Christ is what keeps you out of heaven. The sins are taken care of if you believe. But then if you reject Jesus and what he did on the cross for you, then now what you're doing is saying, okay, I'll just do it myself. And so then you're left to do it yourself, and you can't. You can't do it yourself. It's impossible. So let's go through this. That sounds like, you know, what I'm talking about now is going to be the complete part of the sermon, but it's a very practical part of this sermon that we get to now. We'll go back and look at this passage again. Jesus, our great high priest, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Our confession is that Jesus is Lord. He's the God of the universe. He created everything. Everything was made by him and for him. He is the Lord Almighty. That is our confession. And we hold fast to that. Nothing will shake us from that confession. He passed through the heavens, God himself, who came down to this earth. And so we hold to that confession. He's our high priest. He's our sympathetic priest. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And we're going to talk about that in detail. Look at this, because this is where the grace comes in time of need. It isn't just when you've had a difficulty. It's when you've had a problem with sin. When you have a problem in the areas that we're going to mention. What areas? These areas. There are only three. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from this world." So these are the only areas that you'll find. You've got the lust of the flesh, that sensualism, the lust of the eyes, that's materialism, and the boastful pride of life, that's egotism. So that's where we live. That's where we battle every day in our lives. And we need grace to help us in those times of need. I'll give you the best example I can think of, because I didn't think of it, because I don't think of things, I just find things. It's in the Bible. Jesus, our example. Look what happened with Jesus when he was tempted. Now, I want you to pay close attention, because this is where you find grace to help in time of need. This is the practical part of your everyday life, and this is the example. Jesus, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and following, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. Look at the temptation here, Luke chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone.'" So this is the first area of temptation, the lust of the flesh, that desire to satisfy the flesh. And it comes, in this case, as hunger. Now this is a natural thing, to be hungry. But for Jesus to do something out of God's will, while he was on this earth, he emptied himself, became a man. He denied himself a lot of the rights and privileges of being God. And he had to depend on God the Father and God the Holy Spirit as he walked through this world. And that's what we do. We depend on God the Father and God the Holy Spirit to guide us through this life. And how does he guide us? Look at what happens. Now, I want you to understand. Let's go back to where we were before. Maybe not. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. He starts out by being full of the Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So we need to start our days out being full of the Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So he was prepared, and we'll talk about that more as we go along. But look at what he says here when he is tempted to make stones, make bread out of stones. I've never been tempted to do this. One reason is, I don't think I could do that. I'm pretty sure I couldn't. Now, if I made bread, it might look like a stone. But I don't take a stone and make it look like bread. That's just not me. But Jesus could do that. He could do that. He said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. He quotes the scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He quotes the scripture and points out that a man shall not live by bread alone. And he answers the devil in this temptation. And that'll be an example for us as we move forward. Then the second temptation is the lust of the eyes. He could have the kingdoms of the world. Look at verses 5 through 8. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is Deuteronomy 6:13. You see what happens here. The devil wants to tempt Jesus to worship him. And that's really what he's after for everybody. He wants everybody to bow down to him. And he wants to be God. But he's not a lot different from a lot of people in the world. They want to be God too. Everybody wants to have everything their way if at some time point in their lives, from the time they're born until the time they die, they struggle with this kind of thing. But here you have Jesus. By the way, he left the portals of heaven. Everything belonged to Jesus. And he came down to this earth and he gave up ownership of all of those things temporarily. So this was a genuine temptation, but the difference was he would have to worship the devil. Isn't that something? I wonder how many people in their lives have said, you know, I want to have what I want to have when I want to have it. Who can do that for me? And the devil says, I could do that for you. And they'll worship the devil. Sometimes they worship the devil in the mirror. They think they're worshiping themselves. They're actually, you know, if you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. Did you know that? I said, well, I didn't know that. Well, surprise, surprise. Everybody you'll meet today is in one or two categories. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. There's no in-between. And I know you think there's some in-between sometimes, but there's not. Children of wrath, the wrath of God abides upon the children of disobedience. And so, well, Pastor, that seems like a terrible and hopeless thing. The hope is in Jesus Christ. You can at any time in your life, God is working in your life, drawing you by his Spirit, convicting you of your sin, can come to Christ and become a child of God. There are goats and there are sheep. And they sound alike, but they don't eat alike. A goat will eat anything, pretty much. And sheep, they don't eat just anything. And they're both not too bright. We can get that, go that far. But I want you to understand, they sound alike even. They, you know, but you got that. But there's a difference. And spiritually, there's a difference. When you're a sheep of God, your appetite is different. You long for the things of God. You listen to and you read and you take in the things of God. You have a thirst and hunger for righteousness. When you're a goat, just anything coming and going. It doesn't matter what it is. You just feed on anything. You'll read anything, listen to anything. And you know, there's a problem. You know, your mind will do things that you need to be careful of. And you need grace to help in time of need. Are you having trouble sleeping? You're having trouble thinking, making decisions? You're having trouble in life with your, you just can't get your mind together? What's going on with you? Maybe what you're putting in there through the music you listen to, the words and all the things, those words get in there. So, well, I just love that music. I know. But the words point you away from God many times, and you say, I don't know why I'm thinking this way. I know why you have stinking thinking. It's because of what you're listening to. And it may be what you're reading. So, well, I just like this, but I just like these things, I just like to read this. And it may be, even, it could be innocent things if you want to say there are any innocent things you're reading. But you're not reading the Bible. I know you thought you'd come to church and some pastor would get up and say, you need to read the Bible more. What's wrong with you people? Read the Bible. And they think it's so boring. If you think it's boring, you haven't read it. And if you're reading it and you're bored, you're reading it wrong. And we want to help you understand and read it where you, I can't believe this is in here. I do this all the time. Of course, this is what I do all the time, but it's like, I just, you know, look what's in here. It just jumps out at you, and it'll keep you occupied past your time on this earth. So there are a lot of things that you need to have grace to help in time of need, and Jesus showed us how. He answered again with Scripture, you noticed. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And I want you to notice, he knew what the Bible said. And don't go there. I know you're going to say, well, yeah, but he was Jesus. Come on now. Come on. Stick with me. You need to know where things are in the Bible. You need to find what the Bible says. You need to read a chapter a day. Let it sink in. And read another chapter. Then let it sink in. If you have any questions, write them down. And you can bring them to me, and I'll find somebody who can answer them. You know, but it is one of those things that you need to get God's word into your thinking so that when things come to you, the temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come, you're ready to face that. This is the grace to help in time of need. I know you thought it was some, it's kind of cloudy thing out there that's suddenly a cloud will descend on you and you'll feel better. And that's grace to help in time of need. Do you live there? I don't live there. I've had cloudy thinking, but I haven't had a cloud descend on me and make me feel better. I tell you what makes me feel better is when I can go to the Word of God, the infallible, inerrant Word of God, and find the truth for what I'm going through. And I can hold it up and say, devil, you need to get out of here and look at what this says. And that's grace to help in time of need. Here's the next one. Pride of life. Luke 4:9-12. And he led him to Jerusalem, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That's a quote from Psalm 91:11-12. The devil quotes the Bible. The devil knows the Bible. The devil knows it, but now he'll misquote it, he'll twist it, and he'll turn it. Well, you're like the devil, aren't you? Sometimes you do that. You'll misquote it, you pull it out of context. You know, this, I always get nervous when people say, I'm going to claim this verse for myself. And I'm thinking, will you put that back in there? Don't you claim that verse for yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. You put it back in there and claim the whole thing for yourself. Don't make it say something it doesn't say. Let that verse stay in the context of where it is in the Bible and in the whole Bible, and let it then claim the whole thing for yourself, and you'll find out sometimes verses that you'll claim are not for you at all, and they're not saying what you think they say. Now, maybe I ought to preach a sermon on that sometime, just the verses we take out of context, and that'll make everybody mad. And all of that, start throwing things. Well, look how Jesus answered. He said, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Deuteronomy 6:16. Now, putting God to the test, tempting God, I'm going to jump, Lord, you catch me. You're going to be flat as a flitter when you get down there. Why didn't God catch me? Why did you jump? Did God tell you to jump? Or did the devil tell you to jump? Some of you do this. Now, see, I haven't been here long enough to know who's doing this. So, I'm safe, I think. Some of you do this. You'll blame God for what the devil tells you to do. Well, is it something you want to do? Surely God would want me to do that. So I'm going to do that and ask God to bless it. And he doesn't, and you get mad at God when he told you not to jump. The devil told you to jump. And what would Jesus get out of this, earthly speaking wise? What would he get out of it? Man, if he jumped off the pinnacle of the temple, and I've seen that, it's a pretty big jump. And he was unharmed when he got to the bottom. Everybody go, look, did you see that? Look at, and his that earthly pride comes up. Did you see me? I didn't even get her. I jumped off the pinnacle of the temple. Look at me. I'm a special child of God. God caught me and took care of me. And then you get that I'm better than you stuff. I'm better than you. You look at me, and that's a lot of things in life like that. You ought to stay away from that. So look at this. Temptation comes when the devil thinks it is a good time for him to defeat you. Now let me explain something about the devil. I think you already know this, so this is not this is like class 101 on the devil. But I'm going to say it because it's possible that you could say, "Well, I didn't know that." What's that? The devil can only be in one place at a time. He's a finite created being. He can only be in one place at a time. It's highly unlikely he's in the room. I don't think I'm that big a threat. I don't know about you. I don't know if I've ever done battle with the devil himself. I'm not really concerned about it or thinking about it because I don't worry about that. I send Jesus. I just focus on Jesus, not the devil. But the reason I say that is, so then why are we saying when the devil tempts us? Well, the devil tempts us, but he uses his demons, his fallen angels, demons, to mess with us, if you want to call it that, to try to get us to do things. But for instance, you're only tempted to do from what's inside your sinful nature. That old self that you've died to when you come to Christ, you still have the residuals in your flesh. That lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life is the residuals are still there. And so I'll give you a for instance. If you had just a bucket of rocks, so I got a nice bucket of rocks here, don't you want to eat some? You won't see me eating rocks. It's not a temptation. A little bit of cheesecake. A little bit of banana pudding. I better quit. I'm losing you. So, oh, there they go. They just took off and go get some stuff to eat. Now, those are temptations, because you know, I like those things. So you see how it works. The devil had finished his every temptation. He left him until an opportune time. He looks for an opportune time to get us to fall. Now, the devil does not make you fall. He doesn't use his demons to make you fall. You choose to. You always choose to do what you do, even if it says so. Well, I don't think he was thinking when he did that. Well, you still chose to do it, and you still were thinking something, and you did it. So let's look at what happened. The problem is Jesus was tempted in all areas of sin, just like we are, yet without sin. The preparation he made, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And I will show you in a moment how you can be full of the Holy Spirit, as the Bible teaches, to prepare for any temptation that you'll face. And this is the grace that helps in time of need. This is it. In case you were waiting for that to show up, it's already here. What's the grace to help in time of need? It is that you're full of the Holy Spirit. It is that you have the Scripture. He said he answered each temptation with the Scripture. You have to know Christ, and you have to be full of the Holy Spirit, and you have to know the Scripture. That's the grace to help in time of need. Look at this. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So we receive mercy and find grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve in time of need. I think I put that in your bulletin. Yeah, mercy is not receiving what one deserves. Grace is receiving what one does not deserve. Lord, give me mercy. Mercy on me. I don't want to get what I deserve. But he gives you what you don't deserve. That's grace. He gives you peace. He gives you a life that's full and meaningful in the midst of a chaotic world. We can celebrate today, we can celebrate life in Christ today in the midst of a world that's gone crazy. They're crazy out there, aren't they? You live out there, right? You know what I'm talking about. It seems like, is it going to get worse? I think it might get worse. But you know, if you know the Bible, if you read the Bible, people were crazy way back too. Start in Genesis, you won't have to go far. People rebel against God on a regular basis, and you don't have to join them, and God will give you grace to help in time of need. See? Look what happened with Jesus. Look what needs to happen in your life. The problem is you're tempted in all areas of sin. You're tempted. But you have the power of God by His Holy Spirit to be prepared. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, that is, if the Holy Spirit is controlling your life, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That gives you an example. And Ephesians 5:18 involves be continually being filled with the Spirit. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for this is an excess. But be continually being filled with the Spirit. And that command shows us something. Now, I'll give you an example that's already been given. When a person is drunk with wine, the alcohol is controlling that person. And they'll say and do things they don't even know they're saying and doing. They're controlled. Don't be like that. Be controlled by God's Spirit. Him control you so that your life will be influenced by the Spirit of God. When that happens, temptation can come and temptation can go. And you need to answer every temptation with the Scripture. Now, when I started studying this in Hebrews, and I first read this about finding grace to help in time of need, I didn't think this is what it was talking about. I didn't really know what it was talking about. But when I found out what it was talking about, I thought, that just flows with everything the Bible says. He wants a personal relationship with you, wants you to know Him personally by His Spirit. The Bible says that when you surrender your life to Christ and receive Him as Lord of your life, that He, by His Spirit, He comes to indwell you. He seals you by His Spirit for the day of redemption. You're His forever. And He empowers you to obey Him. You can never look to God and say, God, I couldn't help it. I can't help it. I'm just so weak. I can't. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. You can help. You can help it because He'll help you help it. He'll help you help it. And He said, I'm going to send another helper, the Holy Spirit. And that's the way it works, and it's always according to the Scripture. It's always a great thing to watch when you overcome temptation in your life, when you overcome because He's given us grace to help in time of need. And the time of need is going to happen today. When the big things happen in your life, there's grace to help in time of need. When the little things happen in your life, there's grace to help in time of grace. Is offered to you, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can brag about it. He gives you His grace, marvelous grace, and He gives it to you all the time. Is a spigot, is that the way you say it? Yeah. Always available. You just turn it on. It comes out. So when anytime you face anything, you go to God's Word and turn it on. And let the Scripture come out. When the devil comes to talk to you about stuff, you say, I just want to show you something. Look here. Look what this Word says. I have a great high priest. He came down from through the heavens, and He's my high priest. He paid the price for me. I want you to know I don't belong to you. I belong to Jesus. I want you to know that you have no business here because I'm His. Is that the way you talk? I don't really talk to the devil, to be honest with you, too much because I don't want to give him much attention. Things start to happen, you go straight to God. One little girl was asked, what you going to do if the devil comes knocking at your door? And she said, I'm going to send Jesus to answer. That's not a bad answer. Deep theology from a little skull there. It's good stuff. So where are you in your life? What's going on in your life? Have you ever surrendered your life to Christ? It's time. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Surrender your life to Christ. I'd like to help you do that. If today you don't know Jesus and you want to come forward, we'll pray together. Surrender your life to Christ. If you're afraid of me and you're afraid to come up in front of all these people, then you can pray right where you are and ask Jesus to come into your life. I'd like to know about it. You don't have to come forward and talk to me. You go to Jesus when we pray in just a moment. And if you're struggling with some things in your life you thought you never could overcome, today you found out you can. And you should. And you have the power to do it. And the spigot just needs to be turned on. And the scripture will show you exactly what you need to do. So I invite you to do that. If you're surrendering things in your life to Jesus today, right where you are, just surrender those things to Christ. And if you're here and you want you to come forward and pray, you want to you come forward and God would lead you to do that, you come forward and pray. And if you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you know this is the church where God wants you, well, good. This is the way this works. You come forward today and you tell me, say, I believe God's leading us to this church. That'll just make me so happy. I'd love to have you here. What we'll do is we'll pray together and I'll meet with you perhaps this week or whenever we can get together. And we'll talk about what the church is about, what we believe and how everything goes. And you tell me all about you and then we'll present you to be members at a later time. That's the way we operate. So you come as God will lead you as we sing together. Let's stand together.